You are listening to Overcomers Church International Podcast. Here at OCI, we are dedicated to our vision of building strong people and building strong churches. From wherever you are listening, we hope that this message leaves you equipped and encouraged.
So I'm going to share with you just for the time we have about something that we say all the time, but we don't define very well. And I think one of the things that I've, over the years, have begun to understand a little bit better, and it's given me a freedom to teach and minister on it, and it's the subject of the anointing. And I don't believe that we'll get through it this week, but maybe this week and next week I'll be able to share enough that I feel like I've given out what I need to concerning it. But one of the reasons I felt probably inhibited or limited in terms of ministering this is that most of the time when you hear somebody minister on the anointing, you'll hear somebody that, you know, they've got like, you know, a three-piece suit and patent leather shoes and, you know, they're, bless you, amen. And, you know, they're standing and screaming and they're sweating and waving a hanky and talking about the anointing. And so most people associate the anointing with, you know, if that could be the anointing, or it could just people being emotional. You know, it could be any and all of the above. But the anointing, the sole purpose of the anointing, I don't want to say the sole purpose. It does have a few of effectual purposes to it. The main purpose, though, is to give you what you need to accomplish God's assignment for your life. And so, you know, not everybody is called to stand on a platform. Most people are not called to public pulpit ministry. And most of the ones that are not going to have a personality of screaming and yelling at everybody while sweat's pouring from their brow. So does that make everybody else unanointed because they don't talk and act like that? No. So it's not about emotion. It's not about how you hold yourself. It's not about, you know, when you're going to pray for somebody, you don't have to yell and scream at them. Demons aren't deaf. You know, they respond to authority. They do not respond to whether you scream or not. Now, I've been excited plenty of times and yelled and whatever, and that's fine. That's not the point. But the deal is that the anointing is true and it's powerful independent of the person. It is up to us whether we cooperate with the anointing, whether we continue, if I could say it this way, to bathe in the anointing, being with the anointed one, allowing the oil to be poured onto us. That's our decision or not. But the anointing, it's really, and I'm going to say this just how the Holy Ghost gave it to me. The anointing is the unseen, misunderstood, and therefore underestimated substance from God that is the essential element to accomplishing his will. Let me say that again. The anointing is the unseen, misunderstood, and therefore underestimated substance from God that is the essential element to accomplishing his will. We have, and I think because the way that the anointing has largely been communicated, it's oftentimes been misunderstood by people as only being that guy sweating and yelling and screaming at everybody. And therefore, it's kind of been dismissed as like, well, that's really not for my life. And then what's happened is that we've moved in. We have an entire generation of churchgoers that are going to churches that have no idea what the anointing is. They don't know the difference between an anointed worship song and song service. They don't know the difference between anointed preaching that breaks the yoke of bondage and some guy who's just charismatic. And this is incredibly important that we understand this, because charisma is not what changes people. Anointing is what changes people. It's the substance of God. It's the change agent of God. It's what brings about propulsion in our life. It's what brings about transformation in our life. It causes us to know and to see and to hear and to understand the things of God. It has all of these aspects and elements to it. And the reason why God gives it to us is so that we can take it and we can begin to move forward in our life. And so the question begs, if we're, quote, moving forward and we're not operating in the anointing, what are we moving forward with? What power are we operating in? And there is a tremendous amount, and I'll give the answer, it's human power, it's flesh power, it is charisma, it's lots of things that go on. And the Lord spoke to me years ago about this house, and he said, it will never, and it was kind of like he was giving me a promise and a command at the same time. He said, it will never be a house of song service, but it will be a place of throne room worship. And I was like, thank you. It's a promise and command all at the same time. And I realized, like, he doesn't want his people to come together outside of the anointing that is operating amongst them. And, you know, so the anointing can look and it can feel different. And that will vary dependent upon the minister who's ministering sometimes. And if you have a minister leading worship versus another minister, you know, leading worship, the way it can feel and the things that happen can vary. And that doesn't make one more anointed or less anointed or something like that. It just means that it flows from them and through them in a different way. One of the ways that this really came about that helped me understand this is, you know, my two favorite ministers on the earth are Andrew Womack and Bill Johnson. Those two men have meant more to me. Christy John's like, yeah, amen. Those two guys have meant more to me and have fed into my life more than anybody else. And you know, most people that don't understand the anointing, don't really understand it, but associate it, they couple it with a feeling, would take somebody like Andrew and say, Andrew's not anointed. And then they would take somebody like Bill and they would say that Bill is anointed. Because if you've ever been in one of Bill's services, or even just listen to him, it's a stillness and a hovering and a drawing into the presence of God. It's like, oh, Jesus, I just want more of you. When I listen to Bill, it makes me hungry for the Lord like nothing else does. But you know, Andrew, when I listen to Andrew, and I'm using these guys as an example just to kind of help illustrate this a little bit. When I listen to Andrew, it causes my thinking to change. It does that with Bill too. But what it does is it breaks where I have been thinking wrong in areas, and it causes me to start to think right and see God in ways that I hadn't seen before. And so it's not super emotional. Like you go to one of Andrew's meetings, he's like, hi, I'm Andrew Womack. And you know, he's a hick from Texas. He calls himself that. I'm not being dishonoring. And yeah, and he's just a plain Jane guy. But I sat, and when I was about 20 years old and I was working at my dad's upholstery shop and we started listening to Andrew, we listened to Andrew for hours every day for probably 2 years. We almost listened to nothing else except I knew Andrew's tape series better than Andrew knew his tape. Yes, it was back when cassette tapes were there. And you know, what happened is that I had a yoke on me that was religious. I didn't know God's love. I didn't know that God wasn't mad at me. There was. I didn't understand spirit, soul, and body. There was lots of things that I just didn't get. And I had a wrong perception about me. I had a really broken identity, lots of things. And when I listened to Andrew, what happened is it was like over a couple year period, there was a swelling that happened. And before I knew it, things just began to break off for me. Was it a feeling? Was it an emotional thing? Was it in a service? No, it wasn't any of that stuff. But it was the word of God in simple, pure form that caused the thing that was strangling me in life to begin to break off. So the anointing can look different. And I've talked to Liz about this, that, you know, some ministers will have a saturating anointing. And I've longed for that at times to where I could just get up and just, you know, begin to talk and the whole room's like, Pastor Bobby Ray operates like that. For those of you that remember Pastor Bobby, some of you didn't know that. I mean, he would just get up and talk and just the whole room would just, you know, and it wasn't him. It wasn't, he was actually, his English was really not that great. He'd say things like Duma Flitchy and you know, and the virtue of Jesus. He'd say virtue, you know, so it wasn't with his well adequate words, but it was what he carried that manifested in a particular way. And so the reason why that's so important is because if people don't distinguish that the anointing, first of all, is the thing that will cause breakthrough in your life and other people's lives, you first have to know that. But if they think it looks a particular way, then they'll step back and go, man, I just can't seem to operate and flow in the anointing. Listen, you have an anointing on your life. It says in 1 John 2:20, it says that we have an anointing. Speaking of you, you have an anointing. It's not the same as my anointing. I could describe what my anointing is, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense or whatever. But, you know, for you, when you begin to understand that the oil that was poured on you is a little bit different than the oil that was poured on me and the person next to you, you'll stop comparing yourself thinking, I just can't seem to make a difference. You don't need to make a difference like other people make a difference. You need to make a difference like you make a difference. Because when you're ministering to somebody, when you're working through your situation, when you're dealing with your kids, when you're whatever it is that you're walking through in this life, you have an unction from God to do the thing that God has called you to do. You have an unction from him to do all the specific things, but then even to do the things concerning preaching the gospel, laying hands on sick, all of that. But it will look different coming from you because you're a different person. And it's just fine. And if we understand that, we'll stop comparing ourselves. So let me give you the definition. I'm going to give you a long definition of anointing. Then I'm going to give you a short definition of anointing. All right. The anointing, here's the longer definition. It's imparted power at a notable level by means, by the way, I'll start this over, but where I got this from was from dictionary definition combined with Strong's definition combined with study that really brought about what really made sense to me. And so this is an accurate definition, but you can kind of go and do your own study and come up with your own way of phrasing it or understanding it. But here's what it is to me. It's imparted power at a notable level by means of the smearing of the oil of the Holy Spirit for the sole purpose of accomplishing heaven's supernatural assignment that can only be accomplished supernaturally. If you're accomplishing something in your life without the anointing, then you are not accomplishing what God has for you in your life. Because what he's called you to requires something more than what you can do in and of yourself. Here's a simple definition. It's the smearing with the oil of the Holy Spirit to supernaturally accomplish heaven's assignment. That's what God gives you anointing for. That's what he anoints us for. And so you can find all kinds of scripture verses that talk about going in and having your oil, your horn. And back in the day, they would have a horn that they would fill with oil, and that's where they kept their oil. And here's one of the secrets about, and I'll get into this probably next week a little bit, but here's one of the secrets about the anointing is that you have to keep, this is very important. This is extremely important. You have to keep going back and getting it filled. And I came from under certain teaching that made me believe, not because it was taught wrong, but I believed wrong according to what I heard. It's right to say that we have an anointing. You don't have to go and ask God, God, will you anoint me? I never ask God to anoint me before I teach and preach. Never. I never do that. Why? Because I'm anointed to do it. He's already anointed me. He's consecrated me to do it. But this is what I've found. If I'm not spending time with him, allowing him to fill my horn up with oil, I will come and I will pump from a dry well. And I've done that before, and it's terrible. And so anointing comes from proximity. If I'm going to, you know, anoint you, and we're going to have an anointing service, and say it's a healing service, and we're going to anoint people with oil for healing. The only way that I could anoint you with oil is if you were close enough to where I could put the oil on my hands or dump it on your head or however we would do it, and it would be placed on you. So it has to do with proximity. How do you get the anointing, if you want to say it that way? How do you operate in the anointing? How do you flow in the anointing? How do you draw from the anointing? You have to go and spend time with the anointed one. I'm not the anointed one in terms of the anointed one. Neither is the person next to you. There's only one place you can go and get real, true, authentic oil. And it's with the one true, authentic, anointed one. Why do you think the enemy, think about this. Why do you think the enemy fights so hard to keep you out of the secret place? If you were to ask me, what is your number one challenge in life? Go ahead, ask me, what is your number one challenge in life? To stay consistent in the secret place. Not because I don't want to be there, but it's because there's every distraction in the world works to keep me there. And it's the exact same thing for you. You know why? Because we are powerless without it. It's like the anointing carries two revelations really strong. One is that we have this confidence with the Lord, and that's one of the ways that you increase an anointing in terms of manifestation, is that you are very confident in the Lord. But then the other revelation that it also carries is that outside of him, we have no anointing. And so you need to go and you need to get your horn filled up. You understand what I'm talking about with a horn? Like they would take a ram's horn or whatever and they would fill it with oil. And so when that would run out, and anointing nowadays, like physical anointing, culturally, we don't get it as much as they did back then. And that's fine. But just we need to understand when we're reading the scriptures what it's talking about. And they would carry around oil and they would anoint things because the blessing and favor and healing and all kinds of things were associated with that anointing, because the anointing, the oil, had power to deliver. It had power to heal. It had power to set free. It had power to cause a lot of things to happen. And when they would anoint with oil, it wasn't the oil that had power, but it was the understanding, the faith behind the oil that had the power. And they would use oil as a remembrance of what was given to them. And here's the thing about oil. You ever got oil on your, you know, your hands, or you got it on, you know, if you're working on a vehicle or, you know, whatever, something like that, and you had oil. And you know, it doesn't come off very easy. You ever spill it on your driveway or whatever? It doesn't come off very easy. Or if you have a kid that hasn't showered in a while or hasn't washed their hair, you know, they have oily hair and you know, you can tell or whatever. I'm not saying my kids have ever been like that, but anyways, when I was a kid, it was like that, is what I'm getting at. And so, you know, oil remains. It has a remaining factor. And it also, like fragrant oil, has a fragrance that will stay with you. And so oil has both things. It has the ability to stay, but not to stay very long until you have to go back and get more. Because eventually, you know, if you put like a fragrant oil on you, like a perfume, we wouldn't call it oil, but that's basically what it is. You know, I don't know about you, but I put on like, you know, I wear some cologne. Liz likes it a lot. And But I put that on every morning. I'll put that on. Or if I change my shirt during the day when it's, you know, 400 degrees outside and I need to change my shirt, I'll apply some fresh oil, if you will. And what happens is that fragrance will stay with me. But there comes a time when I need to go back and apply more of it. Amen. I always have it to be able to apply, but I have to keep going back and applying it. And this is like a very tricky thing that the Lord did, but he did it intentionally. We don't just get saved, and then he says, you have an anointing, which all that is true, but then that anointing works outside of relationship with him. Nothing works right outside of relationship with him. He made it that way because he cares more about what we get, the time that we have with him, than what we get from him during that time. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you a few things here, and then we're going to close here. I'm going to give you just a few things here concerning what the anointing does. You know, I'm going to give you one thing, and then we're going to continue the rest of them next week. But when I was in Africa, I went to Niger, Africa, back in 2014, 15, something like that. And when I was there, I had this pastor that was, he was actually famous in that country, and he was on TV, and not very many pastors were on TV. Now everybody's I have a pastor friend of mine that calls me a televangelist. I'm like, stop, please don't say that. Everybody's on, you know, some kind of social media or something or other. But anyways, this guy, everywhere we go, people would be like, pastor, pastor, pastor. And anyways, he would talk about the anointing, and he would say, it's unction to function. It's unction to function. He must have said that 100 times when I was with him, but it really stuck. It's unction to function. And that is what one of the things that the anointing does, is it gives you an unction to be able to do the function. Because the Lord's called us to function in this life, and if we don't have his oil, we don't have his anointing, we won't function right. I don't know if anybody's ever done this before, but did you ever not put oil in your car? Anybody ever not put oil in your car before? Anybody ever? How'd it work for you? Didn't work so well. There's a couple other hands. You're not the only one, ma'am. It doesn't. There you go. If you don't have the oil of the Holy Ghost, you will run and you will blow up, is exactly what will happen. And so it doesn't work well. You ever touched a bicycle chain before? And what do you get on your hand? You get oil, grease, it's whatever, it's nasty. But it keeps that bike chain from rusting. Have you ever had a bike chain that was rusted before? Have you ever tried to bend that bike chain? Doesn't work very well, does it? And if you try to ride it when it's been rusted, what happens? It breaks. It doesn't work right. It pops off. Something happens like that. And so all these things can be pictures of what the oil will do. But oil causes us to be able to function. But the thing with the anointing is that it changes our function from natural to supernatural. Oil changes our function from natural to supernatural. Without going into a lot of details, this is one of the reasons why I believe so strongly in the fivefold ministry. I don't just believe in pastors, evangelists, and teachers. I also believe in apostles and prophets. And apostles and prophets have an anointing on them and on their office and the way that they're wired to care strongly about what's happening in heaven. Apostles, the way that they're wired is like, Lord, what is heaven doing today? What are you speaking? What's on the agenda for today? And of course, prophets are they see things into the spirit. They'll see processes and things like that. And that's why they work very, very well together. Well, if you've noticed, by and large, the church in America has completely dismissed the office of the apostle and the prophet. Because they're ignorant of it, primarily, and try to go and talk about it with people. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with somebody recently, and they're like, I'm just not sure about that apostle stuff. And I was like, well, it's actually mentioned 74 times in the New Testament versus the pastor is only mentioned 18 times in the New Testament. And they're like, oh. I said, so maybe we ought to just go back and understand it instead of dismissing it. And here's the deal is that what's happened is because those two things that are the strongest, those two offices that are the strongest tie to the supernatural, to heaven, have been cut off. So has the anointing in the church as a whole. And we've changed, we have exchanged as a whole, I'm not saying this house, but as a whole, the church in America has exchanged a supernatural church, a supernatural ministry for only a natural ministry. And this is why everybody's comparing, like we love the pastor's retreat that we go to. The very first rule they say is that don't talk about the size of your church because nobody cares. Nobody here wants to know how many people you have or don't have in your church. And why do they say that? Because every church in America nearly is, in fact, this one conversation I keep having with this one pastor, he's like, we need to break this certain number. We need to break this certain number. Why? Why is that so important? Is that really what's on heaven's assignment? No, they have no understanding of the supernatural flow. They have only like the pastoral and administrative thing happening, and all they care about is we got to grow in tithes, we got to grow in these things, but they don't care about growing things spiritually. They don't care about what is heaven actually saying today. And because of that, we have cut off the supernatural life and the anointing of God from operating not just in a service, but in the church as a whole. The anointing is not just for a service. See, if you see it this way, it'll cause you to think differently about it. Instead of, you know, walking out of a service and going, well, you know, I just didn't really sense any anointing on that. I mean, I don't know. Worship seemed a little dry and the message, you know, it's a little long and boring, you know. Was it accomplishing heaven's assignment that day? Because if it was, it was anointed. It had heaven backing it. It's not always about how it feels. I mean, it feels good to feel good. And if you're in services and they're never lubricated, they don't feel good ever. They don't just flow good. There's probably something wrong at the core, but not every service is going to feel like that. The anointing is about unction for you to function. Function in a service, yeah, but to function in your life. Because every time you step up to the plate and you have to deal with something, because here's the thing about gospel ministry, every one of you are called to gospel ministry, every one of you. You all have the ministry of reconciliation, you're called, you've been given the word of reconciliation, you're called to go out and do those things, and you know that everything that you will do, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, speak with new tongues, everything you do is an act of terrorism against the enemy, and it's confronting a problem. So let me ask you, are you going to confront that problem in your own strength, or are you going to get the strength of the Lord on the thing? Because if you get the strength of the Lord on the thing, it'll cause things to be right-sized, to be turned right, to be set in the right direction, to make the crooked paths straight. God will make things work in your life when you're operating from a place of the anointing. Well, how do you do that? You go and you spend time with him. You say, Jesus, I'm just going to draw from you. And it's not to get something from him, but what happens is that when you're with him, you become saturated with the thing that he's saturated with. You ever met people that have been married for a lot of years, and then when they get older, like they dress alike, they kind of talk alike, they kind of walk alike, you know? And we know people that have been married that like that they start to look like brother and sister. They're kind of cut from the same cloth. They weren't really. I mean, they were cut from two different families, and they'd just been together for, yeah, hallelujah for that, in most cases anyways. But, you know, they start doing things so much alike. Why? They've been with each other a lot. You want to be anointed like Jesus? Hang around Jesus. Just hang around Jesus. And when you do that, things will work right.
If God is changing your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. If you would like to give or would like more information on how we are making a difference, visit overcomerschurchinternational.com.